Still training these guys on fixing the microphone. Yeah, have to go to college and get a degree to fix this microphone just right. Amen. Good to see everyone. Well, we've come to the time of year that a lot of folks are heading back where they think it's warmed up. They're not sure. It may not have, but they leave it anyway. And of course, college got out. We had graduation week all week, didn't we? And of course, that takes away a lot of our regular folks, and that's all right. We've been through some summers before, haven't we? And I believe we'll make it again. It does behoove us all to try to be as faithful as we can be, because I don't know about you, but when I was a kid in school, I loved to get in the crowd and be overlooked if I could sometime. Well, that may be what you do in church sometime. But if the crowd's not here, you're going to be in the spotlight more, amen? So we'll know if you're here or not, amen? Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. We're still in chapter 15. I don't see much hope of getting out of it today. I've talked with a preacher, and he just kind of stuck in one place somewhat. He blames it on you that you don't listen well or fast enough or whatever. But the truth is, when we start running the references, it takes time. Yes, we can go through the verses faster, and yet if we're going to kind of get all the refer to it, takes a little longer. We believe the Bible is its own interpreter, and so we have to go from place to place every now and then to get a little more light on it. Book of Revelation is sort of like a good artist, and I've seen some that start off with a picture, and you think that's it. But they keep touching it up, and they keep going back to it, and they keep going back to it. Next thing you know, it's a different picture. It just blossoms on out. And I remember a preacher we had years ago, this chalk artist. He started off with a big drawing up front here, and it was a pretty beautiful little baby. I mean, really good artist. He talked and used the scripture, and his theme was that God started talking to that little baby when he was just a baby. And he kept preaching and he kept drawing at the same time. Dr. Peter Ruckman, he was one of the few that could preach and draw at the same time and was good at it. And he kept touching that baby a little bit, and he said, now the baby's a toddler. And he'd touch it again, you'd see, well, now it's a grade school kid. God's still speaking to the baby, and the baby's giving answers back like, let me play right now, I'll give you time later, Lord. And that began to go on up through his teenage years until adult. All the time, the baby's aging right in front of you and growing up. And all the time, God is talking to him. And above the picture, started off with the baby with a blue sky, sunshine. But as the baby grows into manhood, the sky's getting a little darker. The clouds are getting a little heavier. Pretty soon, that baby turns into an aged, feeble old man with a snarl on his face, looking up and seeing the dark clouds and the lightning popping and snarling at God. I want to tell you, it was a powerful message. It was so true. All life of that baby, he said no to God until it was too late. And finally the storm breaks and the judgment begins to fall. And he done all that in about a 40-minute sermon. Hard to believe. He was really talented. I never forget. It was summertime. Crowd was not big here. And it was like a holy hush came over us all. We were just in awe of what we were watching. And gave the invitation. I thought, surely a bunch of folks will get saved. Nobody got saved. Now, I knew one man that was with us, and I knew he was not saved. And his wife was and came to church, but he was not saved. So, Monday night came, And I thought, a man that sits through a message like that, I just need to go talk to him. So Monday night, I went about dark and knocked on his door. His wife was in the kitchen cooking supper, and he was sitting on the couch. She come to the door and said, come on in. And she almost welcomed me like I was a doctor coming to see somebody. Let's come on in, preacher. And he's on the couch over there. So I went over to the couch and called him by name and said, hello, I saw you in church yesterday and wanted to come talk to you about maybe what you heard. He started crying, grown man, tears running out of his eyes. He said, I've been about to die ever since that message. And of course he got saved and was baptized here, and they were in church for years. But God used it. We didn't see the results that morning. But it was a powerful message. Book of Revelation is a lot like that picture. It keeps touching up the big picture. More is added to it. I told you before, it's like God looks at the whole thing at one time. We want to see it page by page, next verse, but it doesn't always progress that way through the book of Revelation. You get the big picture, and we come back, we run across things we had in earlier chapters, now we see them blossomed out. We see the seed early, we see the plant coming on up later, and of course the Bible is all like that to some degree, but the book of Revelation is exceptional in being that way. And so we're in chapter 15, and it's just a few verses, but the reason I can't get out of it is because I keep referencing back some of the rest of the picture. And so we'll do that again this morning. I've said a few things that I'm going to say again, because I hate to admit it, but all of you are not here all the time, right? So I have to do a little big picture review. Now, we need to understand where we're at in chapter 15. In about chapter 4, the saved are called out up to heaven. Then the tribulation period, the 7 years where God picks up and begins to deal with the nation of Israel again, begins to unfold in the book of Revelation. Probably when we get to about chapter 13, we're probably at about the middle of the trip. And the Antichrist kingdom has taken over. And the mark has been issued, the mark of the beast, at the end of chapter 13. And let me say this, folks. What we see building in our society, what we see building today in the cancel culture, the deception, all that's going on that makes no sense today. How could America be so dumb as to be doing the things it's doing? Well, it's all heading the direction and going to wind up right where the book of Revelation says. Now, when we get to chapter 15, we've moved pretty near the end of the 7 year tribulation period, near the end. And we find in the opening verse that God is allowing his full wrath now to fall. And he's had, let's just read verse 1 again. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So now we're seeing God's wrath. We've seen some of it earlier. Especially since about the mid-trib, it's begun. Now we're seeing it in full here as these vials are poured out and these seven angels are called forth and it says, filling up the wrath of God. And we find that the glass sea around the throne that we saw back in chapter 5. And we're seeing a crowd that had gotten the victory over the beast out of the tribulation period, over the mark, refused the mark. You know, we can kind of sympathize a little bit. We're not going to be here if we're saved to have to fight the Antichrist over the mark. But I guess it was Brother Lee telling me a while ago, just getting back from the Bahamas and seeing God's blessings down there in spite of all the handicap. Paying a $40 fee, he said, to get proved you're COVID-free to get on the plane, another $40 to get back on it. We're in a day and time right now that's coming real fast to the mark. Did you know that? I saw where, what is it, 1.5 million college students can't go back to college unless they can prove they've been vaccinated. See, we're moving right now to where you're going to have to buy and sell to live. You're going to have to satisfy the government with the mark they're going to put on you. That'll be the Antichrist kingdom. It's moving in real fast, real fast. The pressure's on right now. I've said several things about it before. The mark is coming. It's got it's been developed pretty big. Bill Gates, who I understand he and his wife just got a divorce, they're kind of arguing over some of that stuff, but they have invented something where you could have the mark and it not show until they put the light on it, and then it would reflect. We've talked to you about that, and all of that business is moving in pretty fast. Way back, a number of years ago, they came out with a popular movie. And by the way, the devil is using Hollywood and all the social media to prepare for the Antichrist kingdom. That's what's going on. That's the direction it is heading. And way back as far as what they call Star Wars was George Lucas, pretty much the producer of that. I never saw the movie. I saw flashes of it, as you would have had to if you watched any news or TV. But it was financed by the Luciferian Trust. Now, we know the word Lucifer in the King James Bible is the devil. Now, the new versions changed it. They mixed Lucifer up with Jesus on purpose in some of the new versions, but the old King James still tells you in the book of Isaiah who Lucifer is. So the Luciferian Trust, and the word Luciferian has to do with light, and as a light bearer or shiny, and the devil is a false angel. It appears as an angel of light. So we understand that if we believe the Bible. But that's a real big corporate outfit in America. And you're seeing, if you're hearing any news, how the corporations are messing now with the politics to force people to do what the government wants them to do, is what it boils down to. Well, if you ever watched the Star Wars, and the kids, they really bought into it. I mean, it just took the country by storm. There was a hero there named Luke Skywalker and all that business. But they talked about a force that was neutral. Now, a lot of folks would say this to you. Instead of saying, God bless you, they'd say, the force be with you. The force be with you. The force was a neutral force. The good guys could apply it, or the bad guys could apply it. That's the kind of God the world wants to accept. Not one that says this is right and that's wrong. They don't want that kind of God. Nothing with any absolutes. So that's what played out and brainwashed a lot of people. And yet we found words coming into our vocabulary that had never been in there before, like the force be with you, or Star Wars. Now, we remember President Reagan in his dealings with Russia, and I do give him credit for bringing communism to a halt under his presidency, and the good job that he did. But one of the things he did, he bluffed to a great degree Mr. Gorbachev with the word Star Wars. He was going to bring in a space force, and we basically, Russia or the communists could not afford to match it money-wise with the shield that he was going to build that would shield us from their missiles and so forth. I'm just hitting lightly on that. But it worked pretty good. And by the way, we need something to head them off again now, don't we? But anyway, Reagan used that on Russia. Well, now China has come to the light on this thing, to where they claim, and they have demonstrated in the last couple of years, that they have satellites that can shoot our satellites out of the sky. They sent up a target, so to speak, of their own, one of their own well-used satellites they wanted to get rid of, and showed how they could shoot it. You see it in the news now, where Israel has the iron dome, shooting at the missiles that are coming at them from the Gaza Strip, from Hamas and all that terrorist group. And that's an amazing thing, hitting a bullet with a bullet is what it amounts to. It is amazing technology. And that's going on somewhat right now. I'm saying all that to say what we're reading in the book of Revelation is now being fleshed out in the society that we live in and in the news that we're hearing. If you heard any news this week, they had at least three times that I caught bits of it, three times on Fox about UFOs, saying, yes, they're real. And the Navy showing some pictures, and even the government now saying they're real. For a long time, they covered up and still covered up a lot, but they're having to admit it now. 60 Minutes put on a program. I didn't see it this week at all. About all I do watch news-wise is Fox when I get a chance. And I don't like all their stuff either, but they're far better off than the other far-left channels. And so they 60 Minutes did 60 Minutes, an hour, on UFOs. Now, I didn't see it, but I understand that they basically are saying now the government is revealing some of this. I want to say this. We read in the book of Revelation where it's going to get much more. What you're hearing at now is going to get much more fulfilled and come about. Now, there's a lot of Bible references that you don't think about that deals with this this subject. Definitely, has happened some in the past, and probably had Genesis chapter 6 probably had to do something with the fallen angels and all that, but there's some more places in the Bible as well. So if you read through the book of Revelation, you'll see there's extraterrestrial fighting going on. When you get to Revelation 12, we've already been through, Satan's kicked out of heaven. The good angels throw him out. Remember, Michael and his archangels fight with him. So in our history, there's several times that we can reference, as it were, heaven intervening on earth and fighting, good fighting evil. For instance, in the Six-Day War in 1967, Israel should not have been able to win that war. But they did. Not only, I mean, they won it big, and they won it with a smaller force and all of that, just a miraculous thing that took place. Brother Scotty, you remember when we talked with Zeph over there, our guide, and he fought in that war. And a lot of strange phenomena. One of the leaders of Israel said something like this, that to be a realist today in Israel, you'd have to believe in miracles. Those miracles took place in 1967 in that war. The Arab forces that was fighting Israel had them outnumbered so bad, accused America of using secret weapons on them on Israel's side. Shiny things that flew in, shiny discs that flew in, soldiers in bright light uniforms that looked like light. They all kind of documented stories where there'd be an army of 100 Arabs surrender to one Jewish soldier, and he'd march them in, take them prison. And then they would say, well, where's those shining soldiers that were with you? Miracles took place. Things like that was happening, unusual, and some of that is some of the leaders have even documented some of that. But again, I say to you that it has happened before. I'll show you a couple of places, if you'll use your Bible with me, where heaven intervened in the battle, so to speak. And we're going to see some more of that now as we go through the book of Revelation here. Go with me to Joshua chapter 10, all the way back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 10, I'm going to help you with it. If you get to Judges, you've got to go back to your left. You get to Deuteronomy, go to your right, and pick up Joshua chapter 10. Somebody said history repeats itself. No, same God that was in the day of Joshua is still alive today. And he intervened for Joshua's sake, intervened for Moses' sake when he parted the Red Sea, and he can intervene, and he will intervene again in the book of Revelation as we read about it. So in Joshua chapter 10, pick it up with me, or let's drop over to about verse 11. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, they're out here in the battle now, and the enemy's on the run, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekiah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. Now, heaven intervened. Now, think about it. Those hailstones had to hit the enemy, not all the soldiers, but the enemy soldiers. Now, we get to the book of Ezekiel later in a future war that has not happened yet. We find out God's going to use hailstones again. We're seeing the nations right now and all the trouble in Israel, stupid Americans are siding with Hamas, the terrorist group, New York streets, L.A., places like that was in the news this week of going to restaurants and trying to find who the Jews were and riding in the street to fight the Jews. Did you see any of that? That happened this week. May still be going on. I don't know. But that sort of thing. Now, all the nations, Iran, Russia, Libya, all the nations you read in Ezekiel chapter 38, 36 through 38, they are right now emboldened, especially now with the change of government in America and the new president. They're very emboldened now. They were kind of pushed down under the Trump administration, but they're coming back fast right now. And that alignment is getting ready to do just what the book of Ezekiel says they will do, and that's come against Israel. But then God intervenes on the mountains of Israel and destroys them, and one of the means he uses is the hailstones. I can't take time to read it to you. We never will get through. I run all the references. But it's pertinent to what we're talking about now. Heaven beginning to do some things on earth and fighting for the cause of right. Now, as we read here in Joshua chapter 10, the day was ending and the job wasn't done. And there's a lot of debate over this among Bible students and science and so forth. But you read in Joshua chapter 10, the day was ending here. Verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, S-U-N, stand thou still upon Gibeon, that's the mountain. And thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, that's the valley of the mountain there. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? Yeah, I've told y'all a little bit. The book of Joshua is an old book. It's not a, shouldn't be in the Bible, but it's an old book written before many of the Bible books. And it's still, I have it. It's probably down there in the hotel. We're planning on trying to get that picture museum going, and a whole lot of my stuff I moved out of the office down there, and it's down there, that book is. And I've used it, I think, a time or two before. Book of Joshua is an extra-biblical book, like the book of Enoch. And while they've been messed with, they're not as accurate as a Bible book would be. You couldn't put your trust in it 100%, yet it's pretty good history. And so here the Bible references the book of Joshua and says this story is in it, and it is. I've read it. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and haste not to go down about a whole day. Didn't say a whole day, but about near a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord, here's the statement, for the Lord fought for Israel. In the future, he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. So much of what we get in the book of Revelation has to do that. Now, science says the sun couldn't stand still. In the first place, they say the sun don't move. The earth moves. The earth spins and goes around the sun, and we count the year and so forth. Well, the truth is the sun does move too. In fact, the whole thing is moving. When you look at the Milky Way and all the rest of it, and many other suns, it does move. So the Bible is still accurate. Science hadn't caught up to it fully yet, but they will one day maybe. And so God controls when heaven wants to intervene on earth. It can. I'll show you another place since we're close to it in the book of Joshua. Turn over to your right. Go to the book of Judges. You'll find that Israel was having a warfare. By the way, men, this is a shame on us, in chapter 4 and 5 of Judges, a couple of women have to step up and win the battle because the men can't do it. Yeah, I hate to say it, but we may have come to that day again, too. But you have a story over here where Israel's at war, and the leader of the enemy, Sisera, however you say his name, had jumped off his horse to run to save his life. He was leading the enemy, and he ran into a tent to hide, and there's a woman in that tent by the name of Jael, J-A-E-L. You find it in verse 17 of chapter 4 of Judges. And she welcomes him in, and he comes in and tells her, if anybody comes to the door, basically tell them nobody's here. Hide me. Get me some water. I'm thirsty. She gets him some milk instead. Now, ladies, I don't want to give you any bad ideas, but she kills him. He believes her. He lays down. She tells him to fear not. And if you drop down to about verse 21 of chapter 4 of Judges, you'll find how she killed him. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples. Long enough nail, it went through both of them. And fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Now, when you start chapter 5, God had already commissioned another woman here by the name of Deborah to stir up the army to lead the victory. And here's another woman, Jael, that kills the leader of the enemy by driving a nail through his temples. Again, no, don't get any ideas from that. I know a lady, I don't know her. I know the story of a lady that did that. Sure do. Fellas sleep good at night, but... I used to have an uncle. He was mischievous talking fella. And I was just a little kid, but I remember some of the funny things I'd hear him say. I remember hearing him say to his sister, which was my mother, he said, talking about his own wife, I don't think they got along good. He said, I wouldn't have an insurance policy on me and go to sleep with that woman in the house. I picked up on that as a kid. He was saying she'd get me for the insurance money. Anyway, this fellow here in the text probably wasn't insured. But she drove a nail through him. I know the story of a flood came in a little old town. And like you drive through a lot of little towns, they have the cemetery on a hill. Well, there was a bad flood came, and it washed out the cemetery. And there was actually some coffins kind of floating down Main Street. And some of them broke open, and bones came out and stuff. It's a bad time. This is one of the hill countries. And when that happened, a skull came out. And that skull had a nail all the way through it. Well, he got the sheriff in on it, and he researched it and found out who that skull belonged to when he died, and the funeral and all that, and the weeping widow and all that. And the sheriff took the skull with the nail still in it, and he called on that widow woman, asked her to come down to his office. She came down to the office, and in his office there was the skull sitting there with the nail through it on his desk. She confessed, yes, I done it. Wonder where she got that idea from. Might have been reading her Bible. I don't know. But what I'm saying to you is God intervened. And here is where I want you to look at it with me. Let me see if I can find it right here. In Judges. Chapter 4, pick it up in verse 20 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 20. Book of Judges, chapter 5, verse 20. This battle's going on where God used this woman to kill the leader. And it says here in verse 20, they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Now, I understand that sometime the word stars in the book of Revelation, the star of the bottomless pit and so forth, can be a personality, and is. But what I'm saying to you is what we hear today when they talk about Star Wars and extraterrestrials and all that business is not as far out as you think when you run all your Bible verses on it. And Deborah and Jael here was used of God to win over the enemy. Now in chapter 15, we're seeing the final big war of the tribulation period getting close. The big war will finally be Armageddon at the end of the tribulation period, and that's what's building up here as God begins to pour out his wrath. Now, ancient writings in many religions, as well as Christianity and Judaism, has referenced the so-called apocalypse, or the so-called end of time, as they call it, war. The Dead Sea Scrolls were found back in the late 40s, I think. Brother Morgan, you might remember one of our missionaries here this morning, but in those Dead Sea Scrolls, they found some parts of Isaiah and other biblical books giving great proof of the Word of God. But they also found in the Essenes, the group of people that hid them apparently out there in the caves in the mountains, they had some writings concerning the end time wars between good and evil, between the evil forces and God's forces. They call them the children of darkness and the children of light. And there's a lot of, even Islam with some of their confused stuff, references that sort of thing. And so what we're studying in the book of Revelation here, we get to chapter 15, is building up what we're seeing today. We're seeing sides even in America that we never thought we'd see. It is so apparent what is bad and what is good, and how that the bad seems to be winning today, and the deception seems to be growing over and over, starting with our kindergarten kids right on up. They're brainwashing them that America is an evil place, that we're all nothing but a bunch of racists from being kindergartners on, and just amazing stuff that they're teaching today that's wrong. And it's all to bring America down. So what we have going on in our nation right now is socialism taking over. Brother Perkins said, take some of those stimulus checks. You know what a stimulus check is? It's eating your dessert first, and there's nothing left at the end. And that's exactly where we're heading right now, boy. I mean, big time. Unbelievably so. But it shows a lack of depth of discernment and understanding on citizens and population. Brother Jeff Cruz and I were talking this week or last week, and he was talking about some secular folks that are not Bible students, but are in well up on the economy and the stuff that's coming. And the very stuff that they are saying, I think Brother Cruz told somebody, he said, hey, you sound like biblical prophecy. That's where it's heading. That's where it's heading pretty fast. And if you're not saved, you ought to be scared to death. But if you're saved, it's okay. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, Lord, I'm ready. Amen. And if you're not sure you're born again, and when the trumpet sounds, you're going to be left behind. There's not going to be anything left here for you, brother. It's going to get bad. And the trouble is, you think you're doing right. Now, we're seeing a lot of this stuff taking place right now. Prophecies being fulfilled. Going to culminate in the big battle between the forces of heaven and the forces of the Antichrist on planet Earth. Some of you read the book, and there's more than one. It's easy to mix these books up. Somebody's given me one of each, and I don't even know where they're at now, probably in that bunch I moved out of my office. But the story of the little boy that was they thought had died and believe he did die, and he came back to his parents, fairly young kid, probably, I don't know, 4, 6, 7 years old. And his daddy was a preacher, probably not our stripe, probably not as much of a literal Bible believer as I am, but they begin to notice what the little boy began to talk and how he began to tell them things just in normal conversation. His daddy did know enough Bible to know his son could not know the book of Revelation at that age. He could not know the deep truths that we talk about, rapture and tribulation and Armageddon and all those things that you study in the book of Revelation. But the little boy talking with him said things that his dad knew that he just could not have got him in any kind of Sunday school lesson at his age. One of the things was, he said, we were riding in the car one day, and he said I would talk with him because he had discernment and information I just couldn't believe he had. And he said, he told his dad, and I'll just shortcut it for time. He told his dad, he said, you know, when we're caught up to heaven, Daddy, you're going to come back, and you're going to come back, and you're going to fight on the right side in that big war. He described Revelation 19, really, where Jesus leads the armies of heaven. And what are the armies made up of? They were ones that he's called out. I expect to be in that army. If you're saved, you'd be in that army. And the little boy was telling him stuff. He said, I know he couldn't know the book of Revelation. He had to get that during the time that we couldn't account for him, and the doctor said he was dead. And so many other things the little boy told. So that's quite interesting. But the truth is, that day's coming. Good and evil are going to have a face-off one day. God and the devil, and the forces of evil and the forces of good. You call them extraterrestrial if you want to. The big, big deception that's building now, you better watch out for it. I remember a Twilight Zone program. Maybe you do. Often they'd have a UFO show up, remember? Twilight Zone. Anybody remember Twilight Zone? Yeah, far out stuff. But black and white TV back then. And the UFO showed up, and people would think it was the good guys. Right now, if one landed on the lawn in Washington, D.C., and come out and said, I'm Jesus, or I'm your Savior, or follow me, I got all the answers, you would be surprised how quickly Americans even would line up. This COVID thing showed us how quickly folks obey the government. And that's where we're at right now. Well, better be careful. You say, well, maybe we look for the nail prints in his hand. I wonder if the deceiver wouldn't know how to fake that too. Huh? All right, let's don't meddle anymore. What's the time? Time's up here.